Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. She is in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Dave.
If you didn't remember and needed a reminder, the Wisely Report told us just how much wheat has grown in the world.
Right. There's absolutely no question about that, and I think part of what's weighing on that is exactly that. We saw the Russian crop go up by 1 million metric tons, although Australia came in and said it was lower. They actually lowered the EU crop. But I think the biggest thing at the world level, too, is that, you know, we are overpriced on their market. And so as long as we can't compete, every little movement within the U.S. dollar, whether it be just slightly higher, has an impact. And so they certainly slapped us in the face. You know, the market has been kind of fun to watch this morning a little bit, because it's kind of like that first summertime you're going to go into the lake. You know, you put your toe in the water and you test it a little bit, and then you pull back out and you wait a little while and then you test it again. That's what it looks like the market's been doing. As we've been moving on since the report came out, they would test a little bit lower, then we come back. Then they would test a little bit lower, come back. And now it seems as if they've found some spots, you know, where they actually have found some selling. And it started in the wheat market, and now it's spread over to the corn and the bean market both.
Yeah, a world wheat ending stock increase of 4.1 million million metric tons. That's a big number, and it's probably doing nothing for the corn market.
Oh, absolutely not. And, you know, the fact that we actually increased ending stocks all the way across the world market in corn, beans, and wheat was not a positive. There's no question. You know, the U.S., if you look at the U.S. numbers, not a lot of change except, of course, in the carryout on the wheat. And that really wasn't expected. I mean, you know, from that standpoint, the expectation was that we would really see the crop get a great deal lower, which it did. It got lower than was last month. But, you know, they increased things like feed or decreased things like feed and crush, and all of that took away and added to the carryout. And so it's just a tough one. And, you know, the market, I think consolidation is probably the name of the game with a lower bias as we head toward the acreage report and then the grain stocks report.
Should July, December corn, it's not at the moment, but at some point begin to work at an inverse?
I would expect that they would, from the standpoint that, you know, it just depends. The bad part about that crop progress report that came out, Dave, was that we have no idea how many acres actually ended up being planted in the northern tier. Mm-hmm. You know, everything they just stopped reporting at this particular time of the year. And so that'll be the question. But I do think they will, and I think that for that to happen, it'll probably be closer to the acreage report. But, you know, demand for nearby corn has been pretty good. They didn't change the export number at all, which I thought was really a good thing. And so from that standpoint, we will wait until then. A little disturbing, ethanol is behind a great deal in terms of being able to meet its 5 billion bushel level. We have to get over 103 million bushels a week, actually almost 104, to make it. But if we have good driving over the summer, I don't doubt that we have the opportunity to do that. But I do think nearby corn will definitely trade at an inverse.
USDA gave want to be bulls a little bit of something in cutting the 13-14 soybean ending stocks by 5 million bushels down to 125, but that's really having no major effect on the market today.
No, and I think that's because, you know, the market more or less has that number already built in. In fact, I think they've actually even got a little lower number than that built in. So I don't think it's having any impact. It's one of those things where when you look at this, you look at the trade today, Dave, this looks like a five-minute report is what mm-hmm. it does. It looks like the trade has already decided they're going to go on to weather and getting, you know, thinking about the acreage report coming down the pike. It was disappointing to the bulls because of the fact that they did keep the carryout, even though it went down by 5 million on the new crop, that was higher than what the average guess was. They expected it was going to be lower than that. And the average guess was 319. If we'd have dropped to 319, that's a 12% stocks use ratio. That's the highest we've seen since 2006. So that has to be a little bit disturbing, but we're all aware of the fact that at this time of the year, that number, it's going to continue to change. There's no question about it. But you trade what you have right now.
So there was really nothing in this report, corn, soybeans, wheat, to feed the bulls, and the numbers are reflecting that today. How does this reflect going forward into the end of the month?
Well, I'd have to say that it probably says that December corn is going to go down and try and touch that 435 for certain. You know, there isn't much here unless we really find out that there's some major problem with something somewhere on the corn side of things. I think one thing that could help us and maybe really stabilize us is if we find out that China is going to issue more DDG permits and that was just a rumor. But for now, I think that, you know, you have to believe that the trend is going to be down, sideways to down in corn. You look at beans there, too. I think it's going to be the same way. I think we'll test that $12 level on November beans just because we can. I don't think that they're going to take all of the, you know, the floor out from underneath everything, not this early. They'll wait until after they have more information from the acreage report. But I don't see this as a great opportunity for us to make any big moves much, much higher.
So if you're a hedger and you've not done a whole lot of marketing at this point, what do you do? We have about a minute to talk about that.
Wow. You know, that is a very tough one. I'm hoping that everybody has at least, if they did 85% insurance, that at least they've got the 15% covered with something. If they haven't, you know, probably the best thing they can do at the moment is maybe go out and sell some calls against it or do something like that, you know, and kind of bide their time and see once. I think tomorrow will give us more direction again as to what we're really going to do. We'll see export sales come out in the morning, and, you know, they have that opportunity. But this is probably what you would call the hope stage. I hope it goes higher. But that doesn't mean that you can't do something because, you know, if you look at December 14 corn last year at this time, we were $1.16 higher than we were right now at the end of the day yesterday. So we're down another 5. And if you looked at, you know, so we lost that much in the past year on the idea that we're going to have a better crop. I'm concerned about 15 crop and getting something done there.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Dave.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois.